Hello and welcome to episode 129 of the game. I can't even say that with a straight face anymore. We missed so much time now. It's just become a joke. Anyway, this is the We Missed You episode where we're going to talk about a bunch of games where we missed along the way. And we missed you too because we have not done this in a while. So I'm Callan Davison. I'm back. Carl's here. He's back too.
Hi. They call me the Lyrical sometimes.
Hi. Hello, sometimes the Lyrical. Hello, so we're not sometimes. Even going to talk about news today.
No news.
We're going to talk about one. So it was only because I know, because we've got the Game of the Year episode next, and there's no point of talking about it then, unless we'll talk about trailers of the year, but we won't be talking about trailers of the year. But we actually got to talk about this because you're not probably going to be here on the episode after, and it's like...
It's a whole thing.
So really, just before we start, this is pretty much the news section. We missed, this is the biggest piece of news we missed, I guess. There we go, that works.
Yep.
GTA 6 trailer actually happened. 2025 release.
Oh my God. GTA 6, and here we are reporting it. 8 weeks later.
8 weeks later in 2024. So now we can say it comes out next year.
It's only 1 year away.
It's only a year away, folks. That's right.
Quickly before we jump in, do you believe it's coming out in 2025?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's the first time they've given us a release date that far away from the initial launch trailer.
True. And very vague, too. It didn't even say like Q2 or whatever.
If it had said... 2024 spring or winter or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I would have laughed and gone, nah, it's a 25 game, lads.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
because they already went, it's 25, went, it is 25.
Wow, you believe it? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not a convert yet.
Okay.
I think it's the classic. We'll see the date. You know, it'll say late or you know, Q4, and then I think they'll tell us it's October. And then I just feel like it'll get pushed because it can, because it's Rockstar. I think there's going to flex.
What if they just go March this time? Like, what's if we get trailer 2 and it goes, come in March?
That would blow my mind. I don't know. I just didn't see... It didn't feel... You know, from the leaks, unfortunately, I hate using this as part of the reporting, but seeing those leaks, they just didn't feel like how complete that game should be. It looked a lot more like a nearly finished 5. Than a nearly finished 6, you know? And when was that? Only last year? Year before?
2 years ago now?
Guess so.
21? It's 22? Like, I don't know.
It's Rockstar. So it goes two ways. One is like, if anyone can do it, it's them. But the other angle is because it's them, you know, it's just going to, it's so dense. With details and, you know, like the world, every nook and cranny. I don't, it's so huge. But I guess you're right, though. They did give themselves a whole full year and a bit.
Yeah, it's like coming from Red Dead 2 as well, which we're going to talk about Red Dead a bit.
Ain't we?
But seeing the detail again in that game, and I was talking to someone about this today, actually, and we're having a discussion because they've just started playing through the story mode. And I said to them, remember, that game is 6 years old. And they're like, oh my God. Like, it's what? Well, five and a half years old. But it's absolutely. Like, that's crazy when you look at it now and you're like, wow.
That game could have come out this morning and it would
could
be
have come out this
awesome.
Morning and almost take Game of the Year this year. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's just how ridiculously, like, detailed and good the game still stands up, which is... Just a marvel. Like I guess GTA 5 is looking dated now.
Not on PC though. Like I've been recently replaying the story mode, as a lot of people have. I've noticed because of the hype of the trailer, and we can't, you know, quench our thirst with anything else. That's the funny thing. That's another funny thing. We see
no Saints Row.
Get out of here! Find me someone else. I can make another pixelated face. I don't yuck. But how funny is that? That like, fair enough, it's the only other like city world that Rockstar have made. But it's funny that a trailer comes out about a modern world, open world, you know, a modern open world game. And people are so excited that the next best thing is this 11-year-old game.
What about Watch Dogs 2? That goes all right.
Watch Dogs 2. Yeah, it does, actually. It does. That was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Very different vibe, though. A little self-serious and a little bit modern.
Yes.
Like more superhero-y. However, I've been recently playing through it myself, some of it on stream. But the not just the world and the gameplay, but the acting, the voice acting and the character, mocap is brilliant. Like in scenes, I'm still, Trevor still steals every scene. I'm tense when I'm watching it, as if I'm watching a movie. That game does storytelling just so beautifully, and so does, you know, Red Dead 2. Mm. But that's more recent, and it seems more likely. This is all coming on 11 years old, and I was still enthralled and still, like, stopping midway. You know how I do. I'm driving mid-mission, and I'm stopping at an alley going, hold up, look at this place. There's a storage place here. There's some rubbish down here. The newspaper had a picture of a dude I just killed, like, a few missions ago. There was just, like, air conditioning machines outside of this, like, rundown. It just looks so cool. So I just don't know if it's, like, people have said, oh, it's taken so long to make, but man, if it comes out 2025, I will be stoked. I'm not one of those people that were like, what, 2025? Like you, I was like, yeah, that feels real. Thank you for not messing us around. Yeah.
Thanks for actually being honest and
trying. I feel like if there is a delay, I feel like it's completely out of their control. Even, you know, who's to say what is and what isn't, but I really feel like they're trying for 2025.
Yeah. And look, it was an amazing trailer. What's fascinated me, though, since the trailer is going into the forums and seeing, like, these people that try and work out what the map looks like.
Oh, aren't they fantastic?
It is scary how they do it. And they use a combination of trailer footage. And this one dude won't even use the leaks from, like, 2 years ago. He's like, I'm not using the leaks. I'm using, like, all the stuff I get officially from Rockstar. So he started modeling it off that, right? But using, like, triangulation and stuff, real-world areas, and then, shots from the trailer and work out where buildings are in comparison and all this. And pretty much he's done almost the main Miami Strip area, this area across the other side of the map somehow, and then down into the Keys, which they're thinking is the southern part of the map. The Keys are these small islands connected via bridges. It's a famous Miami area down there. But what it's looking like is just amazing. And people still don't know if we're going to get, like, maybe an Orlando area, which is like the theme park area of Florida, which Six is based off.
Goodness.
Or if we're going to get Tampa or Cape Canaveral, which is the space station area where they launched the rockets from.
So much fascinating gameplay opportunities.
Yeah, so because we haven't seen anything of those, we don't know, but it could be that we do get a small area.
Even one of those, man. Imagine going to, like, a non-Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like people are expecting Miami plus a couple of satellite cities out there, like smaller areas, but still which are chunky. And from what they're working out, they've already worked out that Vice City itself is going to be bigger than Los Santos, which is interesting as well.
That's very interesting.
And it looks like there's going to be a lot of land in between as well, which is really cool. Like, you know, they've got the Everglades and all that down at Florida. What I really hope is that we get a lot of fishing, because there's a big fishing culture there, whether it's like inland fishing at lakes, et cetera, or deep sea fishing out in the ocean. I want to see all that and different ways to fish.
Different types of fishing, not just fishing, not just better rods, full different techniques.
Different types. Like, you got to take a boat out for deep sea. And from the looks of it, there's a lot of water, so I'm expecting a lot more water stuff and underwater stuff. Even though there's a whole underwater area in GTA 5.
Yeah, with submarines and diving and everything.
I'm thinking we get that even expanded more out here in Florida. And also what else I want to see is horses back, because I feel they need to have the horses, because the horses in Red Dead were so good.
Yeah.
So good.
And it's all there. They have the assets.
And electric scooters.
Oh, nice. Yeah, such an electric
horses scooters. And electric scooters.
Yep, you know? yep, yep. And so, some silly ones with rockets on them or something.
We should actually talk about the games we missed, because we could sit on the whole episode on this trailer.
One last thing, though. This is GTA, right? This is Rockstar. The masters of parody. They're not dumb. They know that the black and white Mickey Mouse is free to use now.
Right.
As if they wouldn't just use that in a Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, because it's Disney World at Orlando. Right? Yeah.
Wouldn't they? Like, I was thinking, they'll do some silly different kind of rodent, but I feel like they could just use Mickey Mouse just to be dicks. Because, I mean, everyone on the internet is doing it as a joke. Even if they have, like, all kinds of other silly characters and just the Mickey Mouse. I guess they can't use his name, though. But they can name him something else, but he looks exactly... He's just the one, the same one.
Oh, my God.
You know? I feel like I'm hoping what you're saying comes to fruition.
I'm hoping we get... Look, I'm still happy with what Vice City and
Land. What it looks like, what we see in the trailer already is brilliant. How's this no news section? It's GTA, man.
Oh, look, we could talk about this trailer. Easy. We could talk about the main characters, the lady character.
The Bonnie and Clyde vibe. I really love the idea of a relationship that you play as.
Like, yeah.
That looks so interesting. And just being a strong
female. It's better than Nico. Let's go bowling.
My cousin.
That's a GTA 4 reference for anyone out there.
Just quite far back these days.
Which is quite old now, which is over 15 years old.
My goodness.
Yeah, I just made you feel old. All right. 15. Okay, let's actually talk about games that we missed, etc. So, going on from GTA, we might as well do it right now, is Red Dead.
Yes.
Right, so we're not going to talk about... Well, we are going to talk about Red Dead 2, but Kyle and I actually got into me more so than Kyle, because this is a big reason why the episode's just dried up. Red Dead Redemption 2 role-playing. That's right. We joined a thing with Lontre and some other friends. People weren't sure to invite me because they're like, "Ooh, you're going to cause trouble on the server."
He is a famous troll, as we all know. This is no secret.
I'm one of the most famous people on that server now, all right?
Yeah, I know, but we weren't sure. Any of our listeners out there know it's not a secret that I just don't even play games with Callan. Either he trolls me or he ruins it forever like Tony Hawk by being too good. But usually it's trolling, and Callan will be like, "Oh, this new game's out. Let's play together." And I'm like, "No, thank you. I'll just play by myself until I'm very good at it, and then we'll do like 20 minutes." Like, you're just a famous troll, and I was worried. But yeah, quite a viable character in there.
I guess we should explain what it's about. It's like, so they've taken the world of Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's filled with just players just playing different roles, I guess. Like, you have people working in saloons and gunsmiths and all this, so... And it's got the whole map of Red Dead in there. You know, you can buy horses and everything like that. You can grow drugs and sell drugs. If you want to do crime, you can rob banks. You can form gangs. You can do all these sorts of things. But you play a character still. You play not as, like, Game Train or the Lyrical. You actually play a character with a name and a backstory. And so my character, when I didn't know what I was doing, so I made a character... like heel hunt, so I found out names that had hunting origins, and I came up with Todd Woodman from that. I just went into the town and just started playing. I eventually became the town nuisance.
Yeah, which is so appropriate, but it worked.
Which is so appropriate, but I still sit there and play within the rules of the game, except for that first day when I shot two people and escaped and got arrested and then almost got banned. But so this is the sort of thing you do. You played what, Sinner the photographer?
I'm mostly Sinner. Sinner Ludovic.
I heard you went back on the other week and did a bank robbery.
I did, but not as Sinner. Was Alistair York, traveling circus person with a pet bear.
Was it one of the devs as the bear?
Yes. So it was we had it as a trained bear.
Yeah,
and they tried to get they caught me and took me to prison and wanted to put me down for armed robbery, and I was like, I wasn't armed. I was using the bear, and they're like, oh yep, fair enough, you know. So they struck that out. Just fun, silly games like that. My main character is Sinner, And yeah, so he's played some gigs at some of the saloons, and I can get paid for that, or taking photos on hunts, or of group photos of, say, the sheriffs who want to hang a picture up, you know, or evidence or things like that. Or sometimes I got paid to take photos of a house for a competition as a real estate photographer. But currently, Sinner has gone on a long journey to take photos of animals out in the wild. He's out traveling, so he hasn't been seen in country for a while, because he's taking photos for a gentleman called David Attenborough, who sent me a telegram asking for a photo of every creature there is, and he'll give me a small reward for each thing. And the idea is that I'm gone away a lot because I'm playing other games and I'm busy, so my character's disappeared, but I will return to do more music gigs for promotions and stuff like that, which is a lot of fun. But what I think is very fun, when I am there and you're there, is that Todd and Sinner are just the best of friends.
Everyone loves Todd Woodman.
But Sinner doesn't even know
actually,
what
except for the
about.
Rival gang, which I triggered off a gang war the other day.
Oh, yep, of course.
Yeah, so I kidnapped the rival gang leader.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it.
No, he wouldn't be.
I wasn't even masked up or anything. I did it, like, in full knowing he'd know who I was.
Oh, my God. So you could tell
it was brazen as to do it that way.
I do remember Corbs's sheriff just throwing you into the mud over and over again.
Oh, you didn't see it the night where I got revenge and all that.
No.
Yeah. So I ended up kidnapping him one night.
Oh God.
And the sheriff. And then I went and dropped him and dragged him around through the mud. And then I just started riding with him. We had all this banter. And then I'm like, I actually don't know what to do with you anymore. So I just threw him in a random field and rode off.
My goodness.
Yeah, so that was fun. There's been little storylines like that. Another one, my character got fat. And we said it because he kept eating cake. And got around the county that much, random people would come up and give me cake in the game.
Oh my God. I just think it's been so much
fun. Or they'd be
fun.
Like, you're the cake guy, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, so you got cake? So, you know, so yeah.
To reiterate or to say it all, it's based off Red M, and the server is the Diablo RP server, is what it's called.
Yeah.
And the guys over there are just doing an absolute bang up job. They really do follow through. Sometimes it takes a while to get to different issues, but they really take on criticisms and ideas and things that are going wrong, and they're constantly updating the server, and the world is just so rich because of it. Like, they've covered so much of that map with things to do and concepts and ideas, and they continue to grow, and they do events throughout the week, even, you know, silly things like chariot racing, and you can win yourself a house, or you can win a good gun if you do some shootouts, or just even more simple horse racing, silly things, you know, or they'll just throw around a lot of lore and create stories that you can be involved in, like things like the Mountain Man, which was just a mysterious man from the mountains, and bits and pieces. And for Halloween, you know, they change the weather and send in some monsters, and they're just always watching, and they're a very active group, and it's and they're also jumping in as characters while you play, and they're also always watching, so you do have to be role-playing, but they're not as strict as some other role-playing servers of Red Dead and or GTA. They kind of play like D&D Dungeon Masters, who play by the rule of cool, which is, you know, try your best and make an effort, but, you know, if it makes it more fun for everyone, then they kind of allow you. And they have a lot of leeway, and you can do silly things, you know, snowball fights and playing tag, like, every now and then, you know, but they just kind of try and stay within a loose concept of being in character. And that's what I love the most about it. They really do celebrate play. Like, you're just playing, you're having fun, as long as you're staying within the realm so everyone else is also enjoying themselves in this vague realm of role play, then, you know, anything kind of goes, as long as it fits with your character.
Yeah. What I don't like is when people try and bait you to break the rules.
Yeah.
It's a bit shit. That's happened a bit, you know. There's been a bit of that. Or, like, you're breaking the rules, but so are you. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
bit of this sort of stuff. But that'll, yeah, it's like people will really go into RP. Like, someone I know decided to up and leave the server, so his character died. So then we had a funeral for him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice, in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that sort of happened, you know, so you do, yeah, we had a proper funeral thing and all that, which is strange, but different, but this is the sort of thing you do, like, yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting style, different style of game, and what I can't stop thinking about is GTA 6 RP.
Oh, God.
But I said this a while ago. I don't know if I wouldn't have said it on the podcast, but in discussions, I said, with Rockstar bot, because they own Red M and 5M now, which is the modded software servers that run all this.
Yes.
So now they technically own all those mods. Anything you make that goes on there, they own, blah, 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 all that mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
All the fun stuff.
I was really disappointed when I saw that we weren't getting PC day one for GTA 6.
That's fine.
Because I would have hoped to get 6M, let's call it, or whatever it would have been called then, as the RP server, and that you could go into Miami without having played on that map ever and start RP. That would be wild.
No, really? Without... I couldn't.
Nah, because you wouldn't know where anything is. So it'd be like a discovery thing at the same time.
I guess so. But people all around you would know so quickly and you'd just be so left out.
No, but I'm saying this is on day one. So you go onto a brand new RP server, day one, everyone's new.
That's true. It'd be like a day or two of discovery. And it would be fun.
It would be very fun, especially if you had to make your own map and shit.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that would be wild.
It would be... Oh, man. People would have to get on it like months and months in advance just to have RP ready.
No, because Rockstar own all the RP mods now.
Oh, yeah. So they'd just be...
They'd be releasing official Rockstar RP servers. Oh.
Goodness gracious. Nah, I can't even conceive of the thought in my brain. There's no way I could do it. I would have to play that story.
I know, I know. And I mean? We will. But that's going to be a lot of fun doing modern GTA. So, because I'm like, 5 feels a bit weird to go an RP in it now. But 6, I'm like, well, 6 does look pretty good.
Yeah, 6 is like you can be a fish out of water kind of. 5 is too overwhelming because anyone RPing in 5 just understand so much of the nuance of living in that world, and you would just be eaten alive. As if, I guess it's more realistic, like you're really going to LA and just being like, nah, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I'm out.
Like, you know, GTA 6 would be fun. Like, again, if the same folks open a GTA 6 server and we all end up going on there, I could imagine playing with some of the same people and like running an auto shop or whatever like that, you know?
We could all be descendants.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Rod great. Woodman. Oh yeah, what do you guys want?
I'd be just like one of those guys. I'd be paparazzi.
Yeah.
As you know.
Alright, so yeah, that was Red Dead RP. So if you ever want to jump on Red M and Diablo RP, you can probably message Kyle and myself. We can give you the Discord info and all that where you sign up and there's no whitelisting or anything. You can go straight in. There's no wait list or anything like that. It's not like... And they're still averaging like 60 players on there a night, which is quite big.
It's a really nice amount. It's not overwhelming, but enough that stuff's going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, make a character, kind of think of where you want them to be from and give them a loose backstory and, you know, think of something that you want to achieve. Even if you don't, you just come in there and start asking questions and see who you want to follow around and learn from, and generally just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And you'll be very welcome.
Yeah, it's follow the rules of the server and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's go on to other things.
There's so much.
I know, we're gonna speed things up.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start with some of the Ubisoft adventures.
Okay, let's go Crew Motorsport.
The Crew Motorsport. Good times. We both tried this one for a little bit, and that's the main thing.
We're both racing fans.
Yes.
It's funny. It's one of those one genres that we both go, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, we're not like, neither of us are sweaty, but we don't avoid it either. We're like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
And it's funny because we don't really play the sim ones, that, like the simulation ones, like Gran Turismo or Forza Motorsport. We're more like Forza Horizon or
Need for Speed.
Need for Speed or The Crew, you know, the more arcadey ones, I guess. And then when you look at this and for someone going to this the first time, to go, oh, this is just like Forza. It is kind of, again, this one's set on the island of Hawaii, so you got that tropical look to it all.
Yep, big open world.
Yep, sports cars, etc. But the main difference with The Crew is that like the other ones, you can go boats and planes as well for different styles of racing. This is where the fun comes into it, that with one button you can change into a boat and then into a plane. Like, and I think this is where the magic, this one comes in, you know, and how it differs itself from Forza. Like, I think Forza still looks better, but this does a great job of like giving you other options of different racing to do. Types of racing to do.
Yeah, and there's still, I mean, like Forza, we're comparing it to Forza a lot, which will make sense if you ever see any of this game or play at all. And there's a lot of different little disciplines and events that are on the open world. Switching never gets old, though. That is very unique to that. And even if you weren't able to switch on the fly, just being able to be in a boat or in a plane changes a lot. So it's more like vehicles instead of just cars.
Yep.
And it's... We say that Forza Horizon is not that simmy, and it isn't. But this is when you play The Crew, much like the last one, it's even less simmy. This is a more really like turn your brain off after work. It's a great game for talking to your friends on Discord and just playing it in the background and catching up. It feels really arcadey, not quite silly, but just very bouncy, very easy, and kind of relaxing.
I guess what you're trying to say, it's very easy one to just pick up and play.
Yeah, exactly. And like Forza Horizon, it is also easy, but the cars are a bit more heavier to control. You got to concentrate a bit more, and it's more of an involved car lovers situation.
You reckon? What are you saying, Forza Horizon?
Yeah, more so.
Or
than
are you
the
saying
crew.
Motorsport?
No, Forza Horizon. I'm saying these are both very similar. Like Motorsport is the one that's the most sort of simmy.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that even though. Forza Horizon is their less simmy one. It's their kind of arcadey one. The Crew is even more arcadey. So in Forza Horizon, even like you're way more so than The Crew. Each car feels a bit more nuanced, and there's quite a bit more you can do in the options to do with like steering and all that kind of thing. Whereas in The Crew, it just feels a lot more. I don't know how to explain it, but you don't have to concentrate quite as much. It feels a bit more arcadey, and just more toyetic. Almost.
Okay. Well, what I'm sad about this time, though, is I feel like compared to the last Crew game, they've downsized it a bit. Like the last one, you could technically do a race across America, even though it wasn't. It was a very small area.
Yeah, but it's huge.
But now it's like, oh, no, you're just on the island of Hawaii. It's like, but I got to drive across America last time.
Yeah.
You know?
And fly.
And fly and things like that. So,
well, there's a lot more water for the boats this time. Okay.
This is very true.
The island hopping and stuff, so you can really just like crash into the water out of your aeroplane, and it is very fun to play. I do like it's very colorful. It's a very fun game. There's not much more to say about it than it's like Forza. It's not to be belittling. To say something is Forza Horizon Light is still a huge compliment.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say if you want planes and boats in your game, you'd go to Crew over Horizon, because Horizon doesn't have anything like that. Now, you know, they might in the future one day. That might be what they end up doing next. We don't know.
I don't think so.
No. Maybe Forza has to go down the bike path.
Oh, wow. Bike path. Yep, that's the little bit on the left of the cars there. Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, look, it's a fun arcade racer.
As I said,
it differs itself from Need for Speed and Forza by having the planes and the boats.
Yeah, that actually does make it very unique. It's weird to think of, because any like promo or footage you see, they have obviously the cars are at the forefront all the time. So your mind goes straight to a car game, but there is so much more in there. It is worth checking out.
Yeah, and the other Ubisoft game you checked out was Avatar.
Yes, Frontiers of Pandora.
Yes.
Now that game, I haven't been this torn in half in a long time with my opinion. That game is very, very, very fun to play.
Okay.
And that's about it. I've really
Where's
struggled.
The butt?
The UI sucks.
What?
The navigation sucks.
Sucks. Take us back a second. I haven't played this yet, but I've watched streamers playing, etc. And straight away I went, oh my god, it's first person.
Yeah, so that's tricky. Which
I thought it was going to be third person, to be honest. But yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I'm uninformed as hell here.
You're a famous character, a Na'vi, you know, a creation of the Avatar franchise. You'd think they'd show you. But it is first
person. Character creation, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's very... Even I spent like less than half an hour in it, which is huge for me. And that's because there's not that much character creation. You can make your hair brown or black or like...
How do you spend 30 minutes in that?
I find a way.
Yeah, okay.
For those of you listening, I'm normally in there for 1 or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So less than 30 minutes is not much.
Oh, I can't wait to ask you about Baldur's Gate then.
Yeah, oh boy.
But
so I thought the first person thing would be really weird. However, it feels great. The parkour feels awesome because you're like a, you know, 7.5 foot.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because I haven't watched Avatar since the original came out at cinema.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. The second
one.
So
I forget
enjoyable.
That they're actually quite a lot taller than
huge.
A human.
Yeah, 7 to 8 feet. And the cool thing, so it's if you are a fan, so what I love about this game is, fan or not, the game, the momentum feels great. And because there's such a rich lore that exists in the forests and just with creatures and like flora and fauna, after you get past the terrible UI and all the, just the, well, get into that. But once you get through that and you start learning what each of the plants do, which ones are for eating, which ones are for crafting, which ones hurt you, which ones help you, you start to really recognize them as individual plants. They light up differently to let you know different things that are happening, and they can warn you about creatures. Some of them like turn a reddish color when bad things are happening. It's really cleverly done, and almost every piece of nature can be scanned and learned about, and you can like create a log and really feel like you're becoming a hunter, which feels just really cool. And yeah, the moving, what I was going to say, sorry, about the size, which I've never really felt. When it's first person, you cross paths a lot with humans, and you don't notice till you talk to them, and you're looking down, and they're like
these tiny things.
And you have this like, you know, soft voice, but you're looking down at this person who's looking up like, yeah, don't worry about it. I can show you how to use the tools and the guns and stuff. And you're like, oh, thank you down there. You know, it's very weird, but it feels cool. It really lets you get into the world of Avatar. Like when you find a creature that you've seen in the movies, you can, you know, scan it and then zoom in on it and rotate it and really look at the creations and all that. So all that part is wonderful. I'm absolutely adoring it. But, man, that UI... It's just the heads up, everything. It's the navigation is so hard. And so there's two options. You can go explore, you know, or the other one, which I forgot the name, but it's the one where they just tell you where everything is. They've done it in Assassin's Creed before.
Oh,
Persia.
Don't you just go to normal mode anyway? Like, who goes that hardcore explore mode?
I did when I first played Origins because it was new and I thought this will be fun. Right. I did it for about 5 hours, and I was like, this sucks. I'm too lost. I don't have time. So in this, they have those two as well. Oh, guided. There it is. So exploration or guided. I chose guided, and I could swear it feels like I chose exploration because there is just – the guidance is just really bad. So the whole UI is this kind of like – how do I even describe it? Like kind of flowy – It really looks like an enhanced CD from the year 1999. It's got like soft blues and soft pinks and swirls everywhere. And when you go into your skill tree, a blue swirly screen brings out light blue swirly swirls that go into like pink and purple swirls. You just can't quite tell what anything really is. And then in the map, when you look at it, the map, by the way, looks gorgeous. But the markers are all like dusty plumes of swirly light and smoke instead of just like a yellow dot or a, you know, a yellow house shape. Or
do they try and blend it too much of the environment?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all mixed. So what is cool, though, you know, the fog of war, as you reveal more of the map.
Yeah, yeah.
The fog of war, which they've done before, is like an overshadowing of clouds, which looks really natural. And as you uncover the map, the clouds open up and you see more. And through some of the clouds, you can see some of those famous floating islands from the Pandora moon. So you're like, ooh, I get to go there one day. So there's cool teasers. The map, awesome. But yeah, all the markers, whether it's a mission, home base, fast travel point, your next step for your mission, side quests, they're all just slightly different smoky puffs of smoke. And then when you're actually in the game, you can press like sort of a scan button, you know, which all the games have that turn everything kind of black and white. But instead of the whole game going black and white, there's this tiny little ring of vision. And in that is the black and white section. And then in there, you have to rotate until you can find this blurry little shape, you know, this blue kind of hint that that's the way you have to go. But they don't, you know, normally there's something on the left or right side of your screen kind of blinking until you look at it. Saying like this way, there's nothing. It's just fully blank until you physically see it. And then when you get there, you have to find it above or below. It sounds like I'm going on about this, but when you play the game, it really kills the flow with a game that is so fun to play as the actual gameplay and the parkouring, the running. The flow state is awesome. The jumping through trees, and you can make such big jumps because you're a 7.5 foot to 8 foot creature.
Okay.
You're doing these huge jumps. You're jumping off cliffs and you're landing on big leaves all the way down to soften the blows. And you're going from vines to trees and you're pulling out your arrows. And it is so fun to play, but you have to stop every 5 minutes because you're like, wait, where am I going? Oh, no, I'm, you know, half a K away from the thing again. So I'm very torn about Avatar. What I haven't tried, though, which I'm still keen to try, is the co-op because it is the gameplay itself. If it were clearer with where to go. But the actual gameplay does feel a lot like the bare bones part of a Far Cry game, but with all the beautiful, rich hunting and lore and survival of Avatar mixed in. So the Far Cry parts actually really help it.
I had a question.
Yeah, please.
Whereabouts in the Avatar storyline does this take place?
Great, great question. So they trapped a bunch of Na'vi kids as very young and so were sort of training them as child soldiers. So these are the humans, the bad guy humans, coming to mine the planet or whatever. And they're teaching them how to speak English and how to use guns. And, you know, they're all dressed in the human attire, but, you know, size 5,000 or whatever. And then everything goes down that was from Avatar Part 1. So Jake Sully is out there doing things. We don't see it. We just hear about it. And the kids get rescued by their teacher who has, you know, just like the movie, some of the humans grow to love the people, the Na'vi of Pandora. So their teacher becomes one of them and betrays the humans and tries to save them, puts them in cryo sleep, and the whole building crumbles and they all escape. And then you wake up 16 years later. So it's after both movies.
Right, okay. I have not seen part two. I've only seen part one, which was a long time ago.
I think part two is supposed to be quite soon after part one.
Right, okay.
So the humans come back. They just come back for more mining or whatever.
Right, okay.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I like it and I don't like it.
Okay, yeah, no, that seems a fair assessment, okay. Do you think it would have been better in third person?
No. I mean, possibly, but I haven't lost enjoyment by having it in first person because so much of it, and I think maybe because the UI is so bad that being in first person really does help me now that I'm learning what all the plants and the environment looks like.
But
I actually need it more than ever now, so being like the eyes of the character is almost necessary for me now because that UI is just, I just don't use it. I feel like I'm playing exploration mode myself.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, let's move on to some other games here. This is so weird to talk about this one. So we're going to talk about Starfield.
Oh my, How long has it been since we've made a podcast?
I've got to apologize again. I'm so sorry, people. I went so far down that Red Dead RP rabbit hole.
He did, you guys. He really did.
Like, so far down, I was just gone from everything.
He was, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and every now and then I'd stick my head back up and
into World of Warcraft and then jump back.
Oh, we're going to get onto that one soon. Like, yeah. All right, so yes, Starfield came out finally last year. Big Bethesda game, set in space. A lot's been said about this game. We'll give our thoughts real quick here because I don't think people need to hear 1,000 different people give their opinions on this game, whether they're good, bad, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a Bethesda game set in space. You go from planet to planet, follow a storyline. You can explore it. There's different factions you can do missions for. There's customization, ship customization, etc. Skill, you know, you can level up your skills and all these things. But you know what? In terms of Bethesda games,
it's really...
It's not the highest for me. Like, you and I were talking before the... And, you know, we talk about me running off down the Red Dead rabbit hole. I still put 20 to 30 hours into this. I think I actually put more time into Fallout 76, to be honest. There was something about it from the get-go just never grabbed me. Well, and I don't know what... I'm still trying to figure out what it was. I think a big part of it is that...
It's the exploration. That's what
it's the exploration is. Sucks.
There is no... It's so... The funny thing about this... And us talking about it now is calling it a Bethesda game because it is not. The only thing that Bethesda has that this is still a Bethesda game is the awkward characters, you know, and that's kind of it. The rest is just a different kind of open world game, not even open world, a different kind of RPG game that is unlike their others. And the biggest disappointment we all have is them tricking us into thinking it was going to be a Bethesda game. I think it would be a just fine story game if we didn't go in hoping it would be what they kind of alluded to it being, which is a game where you could go into a big, huge open world and make discoveries and, you know, clear bits and come back to them and see how they look in the future. But there's none of that. There's about five main
cities. Do you think they should have just set it on one planet?
Yes.
And like a moon or two?
Yeah, absolutely. They should have done no more than three, maybe two planets. You know, if they really wanted to do the discovery, because right now it's pretty much just an old Bethesda engine version of Mass Effect.
You can climb ladders.
You can, and we were very happy about that.
That was exciting. Like when I climbed my first ladder, it was probably the highlight of the game for me.
Yep, same. And that's saying something. The shooting feels kind of good sometimes if you have a great gun.
There's space magic,
which is not, and you know what? The stuff in the spaceships, the battles, they do feel pretty fun.
Nah, I hate the dogfights.
I like the dogfights.
Nah.
I like that you got to fix your
ship. Every time I got into one, I hated it. I was just like, this is not fun.
Do you like the No Man's Sky ones?
I never played No Man's Sky when it had space battles.
Oh my God. What? Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, no, I didn't enjoy the space battles in this. Like, in Star Wars games, I enjoy the space battles. They're fun.
Yeah, they are fun.
But in this, it was just... I don't know. It was just so many things in this. I was just like, okay, the main city is so uninspiring.
Yeah, correct.
It was such a boring city to walk around. Like, it was not interesting. And I kept getting lost because there's no map. There is now. They've added it through a patch.
Yep.
But when it first came out, there was no map. I kept getting lost. I'm like, I want to find the gun store to sell my shit.
Yeah, and stuff isn't where it should be. Like, the gun store is probably in the residential area. You know what I mean? Like, none of that makes sense.
Fixless, and it's like, does the residential area... I'm like, how does this feel like a residential area? It just feels like another row of shops.
Yeah. And the house was, like, not in the residential area. And before there were maps, you had to go by the names of things, and I just couldn't. So luckily, you just have to follow the dot, which then you just kind of loading screen into loading screen, which is another thing. You know, it's everywhere you go is just a series of loading screens.
Oh, then, isn't it? Yeah.
Which sucks. But then when you land at any planet, even if the planets didn't have much in them, I just wish they weren't. They're just cut and paste buildings. You do one or two buildings, which is very fun to clear. Have to admit, had a ball. But then when you get to your like fourth or fifth one and you realize that it's pixel to pixel the same thing, it's not even procedurally generated. It's the same building again on a different planet. And you go like, what the hell? And then you, once you've done a few, which I there wouldn't be more than 10 of them, I don't think. And then you will never see a new one again. It's just one of those, I want to say less. I want to say seven or eight. And it'll just be one of them. So the first time you do each of them is like, oh, this is so cool. I can do this all day. And, you know, you check every nook and cranny like you did in any Bethesda game, which is what made them so cool, because you do that over the whole map. And it takes you 6 months because you check every level, every building, every lunchbox. And that's what it is. It's that tedium of just going from place to place, finding a shack and being like, oh, there's a dead body there and he's got a note. And you end up, you know, whatever. And then you, one thing leads to another. And it feels more like playing Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild. Whereas this felt like a really shit big Mario Galaxy.
You know? Yeah, no, it just, I hope they never do another Starfield game.
No, see, the thing is, though, I did enjoy the main story things. So the way to enjoy this game, if you haven't played it yet and if you're not scared of jumping in, I genuinely enjoyed the stories. And how they unfolded, and most of the characters. So unlike any Bethesda game ever, just know that there's no map, so let's just not... Well, there's no, like, single map to discover, okay, and explore. So it's you're bouncing from place to place, so let's pretend this is not a Bethesda game. If you jump into Starfield, and you just do the main missions, and the, like, side quests that are close to the main missions, not the little ones, like, you know, go and help this... guy get let into the city because he forgot his passport.
Oh, actually, there was something I enjoyed. I enjoyed being this guy that gives you a series of quests to go get money off people.
Yeah, yep.
Like a loan shark thing. Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah, even that felt good. You're like, excuse me. We got
That was fun. That was probably the most fun I had in the game. And I think with the Freedom guys, the Wild West dudes, because I'd been playing Red Dead. All I wanted was cowboy hats and stuff.
Of course, and you can unlock a cowboy hat. I did the the Crimson Pirates or, but anyway.
The game is
not as dog shit as we're saying. It's just a disappointment because of what we expected. But if you go in and you play the main story, just jump straight in, do all the story stuff, and then once you've got a bit more freedom, do some of the very close adjacent side quests and just stick to the story, and it's fun if you play it more linear, which is really weird because who's going to do that? That's the problem. So most of us don't enjoy it because we're not told to play it that way. But if you do, just play it, get in there, do it linear, have a great 40 to 50 hours, and then do Baldur's Gate, which is better in every single way. And that's Starfield. Great time.
Starfield. All right, well, you might as well talk Baldur's Gate because you just segued it.
Oh, speaking of Baldur's Gate.
I haven't played it. I'm old school. I played Baldur's Gate 2.
Oh my goodness.
So all these people just jumping on the Baldur's Gate 3 bandwagon, I haven't played it.
Oh.
But I'm old school.
That is old school. Wow. Well, I played a little bit of Baldur's Gate 1, I think.
Okay.
About a year or two ago because my housemate, Dr. Evan... He's been obsessed with Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 ever since I've known him. He just replays those games. Yeah, they're like his favorite games ever.
What?
He just replays them.
Like, is like 3 like his like goat now?
That's what I asked, but he hasn't jumped in yet because he's been very busy, and I don't know if he has a rig that'll run it well. He's been playing these on his laptop, and it's like seasonal. I don't know when it is, but every now and then in a certain part of the year, June or, you know, something like that, I just find him just sitting there chilling on the desk or on a couch just running through Baldur's Gate 1 or 2, and he's like, this is the best game ever made, best story, best this and that. So I'm like, all right, let's jump in. And I tried it a bit, and you know, I got bored quickly just because it just looks so old and there's so much reading, and I'm like, I am too tired. So that's all I ever knew. But jumping into Baldur's Gate 3, I haven't played a lot. I want to say I've done 15 to 20 hours.
That's, you know what? That's still 15 to 20 hours more than I have done.
Yeah, but, you know, it's only 13 to 18 hours of actual gameplay because
oh,
of that,
really?
Character creation part.
Oh, right.
Which was easily about two, maybe more hours spent in character creation, because in Baldur's Gate, one, the characters all look awesome. They're so unique, so many races. You can play as, you can just make your own character up, or you can play as one of the main cast members, which is called a legacy character, and okay. You can play through their actual story, but make decisions starting from the point that the story starts in the game. But all their backstory exists as it would be, which is very interesting. So you could be just, you know, a nameless character. Or you give yourself a name, you know, Todd Woodman, whatever. There you are, a little orc.
I was going to call myself Callan.
Callan is a good orc name too. So you could be running around as just an orc, and then, you know, you're surrounded by these characters, which are just orcs.
Why do I want to be an orc, though?
I don't know. I just picked an orc, Callan.
I'll be a human.
As a human, as a half-human, half-orc, you're just walking around, and you're surrounded by these characters, all brilliantly voice-acted. The voice
can you make them all humans, too?
Can make them humans?
Yeah.
They are what they are, Callan. You can't change them.
Oh, okay. I was going to just have the most boring, generic-looking party ever.
Oh, no. Yeah, so the party is like a preordained cast of characters, but you can miss them.
Oh.
It's, you know, like old-school Final Fantasy or whatever. You have to find your party members in different missions and talk to them, and they can either be your enemy or they can join you, depending on what you say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what race you are, because some of them don't like you for different reasons. You might have ongoing tribal things or personal issues, like one type of race killed their parents or, you know, something like that, and then you have to convince them more, or you have to inevitably fight them and kill them so they're no longer in your party. There's just endless possibilities. And the issue with the character creation is that there are so many races and then classes and then subclasses and then jobs within those subclasses, and then some of them, like the paladin, just has all these different, like, disciplines and deities and...
Oh, you're playing Paladin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll probably change that. I'll probably start again soon, because I went Paladin because that's
just
my
D&D character.
Just
go warrior and smack things with a stick?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to stick to what I always do and just go rogue.
Ranger?
Yeah.
I don't think there is a rogue, is there?
It might have to be ranger then, but, you know, I'm usually something with a dagger or a bow and arrow that hides. So I might go back doing that. But just, you know, even the first 15, 20 hours of that game, you immediately see why it's just stopped the world.
I still don't get it. I've watched streams and I watch it and I'm like, I don't understand.
You might have to just, because I've never watched gameplay until I played it, so I knew I could feel the decision making, but it looks quite linear to watch because you're not inside the mind of the player. That's the crazy thing about Baldur's Gate 3 is that you can think of so many weird solutions and ideas that are not just how you choose what to say, but you can choose what to do, and you can place things in different spots. You set fire to things and it'll change the environment, or put oil somewhere and something will slip over, or, you know, elemental stuff will affect other physical things, which will affect you talking to people and the order in which you talk to them. And what you say, and it really does affect everything around you. It's just, it really does feel like just a random, silly game of D&D. Like, when you're playing D&D, so many games before it were so self-serious, whereas this, it still is a fantasy story, and it's trying to tell it in a serious and meaningful way, but there are still just silly things you can do. And when you hit a natural 1 or a natural 20, just the way the game...
I don't know what that means.
So basically, the most basic thing in D&D is you roll a dice to make it. You make a decision.
I say it's after playing Baldur's Gate 2.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, they hide the dice in that one, I think. So, which they do in most, even like something like Starfield. It's based on that kind of system where you ask something and then a random dice is calculated in the background, and they'll answer accordingly, depending on, you know, if you have advantages in one thing or disadvantages in another thing, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And if you're stealthy and you try and choose a stealthy option, you can do a thing called rolling with advantage, which means you roll the dice twice and you take whichever one is the highest number. But the quick thing about natural ones and natural 20s is they changed the rules completely. So if you're, it says, all right, you got to roll a higher than 10 to open this door or whatever. If you roll a 12 or a 13, that means the door opens. If you roll a 1, that is a natural 1, which means your plan has to be ruined so badly. Like, instead of the door doesn't open, you know, the roof caves in, and now there's a pile of rocks in front of the door, and you not only need a key, but you have to go find someone that can dig up rocks. So hypothetically, or if you rolled a nat 20, a natural 20, it means not only do you open the door, but something incredible, like you blast it open with magic through the power of your mind, or, you know, but so natural ones and natural 20s within the game of D&D have always meant like, all right, if you roll a 20, now your DM has to come up with some crazy cool thing that happened. So like, okay, you try and shoot someone in the head, right? And you're like, all right, you got to roll more than 10 or something. If you hit a 20, it'll be like you shot it and it bounced off this light thing and it shot him right through the eye and he fell on the ground and dropped the magic map. And you're like, holy shit. You know, and the party is like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so cool to roll a natural 20 and why it's meant to be so funny to roll a 1. It's not meant to be just a fail. It's meant to be like, just ridiculous. Like, and then your leg okay. broke. You know, you shot your own self in the knee, and now you have to limp, and you're now, you can now go 5 speed instead of 30 for the next 10 goes. And you're like, fuck.
Oh my God.
That kind of stuff. So okay. it really rewards that kind of gameplay throughout, and it's just so much fun, and it looks gorgeous. Yeah, Baldur's Gate's awesome. I can't wait to get back into it, but like those kind of games, like Witcher 3, I've played too many games, and I can't just get back in. I have to start again. It's just okay. too much going on. So I'm keen to start again with an easier character because Paladin was too overwhelming for me. We should do co-op.
You can say that to the biggest troll.
I know, but
on a game where anything can happen.
In this game particularly, I'm curious.
All right, fuck it. Let's all right. do it. All right, yeah. Well, I don't know when because I've got to wait for you to come back.
Of course, I'm going to Japan for those listening to this. When are we? We're the 18th of January. I leave on the 24th and I'm gone till February 11th. So I'll be gone for a little while.
So long.
It's so long.
2 discs then comes out.
2 discs will be out by then. Wait,
does no, it no, out? 29th of February. Easiest date to remember ever.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's true. That's very good.
It's funny.
Man,
when
the
I saw
promo
that,
will be like, everywhere in Japan.
It will be. Actually, whoa. Are you going to go to the Final Fantasy Cafe and
yes.
stuff?
Yeah, I'll get you a one of those things. What are they?
These, I don't know.
These things that you put your cup on?
Coasters.
Yeah, they have custom coasters. Not custom, but...
Tifa coaster, please.
Wow. So they have like a thing at the front of the cafe, the register, and it's just a whole bunch of coasters. And they're like... They're cardboard, but like really thick, sort of good quality right. ones. Like I still have the one that I got from 2017. Mm. But they're all the Final Fantasy 1 style art of any character
that's cool.
who has ever been in Final Fantasy from 1 to 16.
You could get one of what's his name? The main character from 12.
Bless you.
Pardon me.
12. Who's in 12? That's Vaughn. That's the worst one. I wonder what he looks like.
Vaughn's not too bad. Jesus.
He's all right. He's Vaughn of the good ones.
We give him a lot of shit.
We do. He's got great shorts. That's all.
He did have shorts, didn't he? Because he was like
was he at least
a
one,
desert kid, yeah?
One leg was a short, kind of like Titus, but more relaxed. Did he have shorts? Okay. I remember he had sort of like a, not really a shirt either. Did he have a bare chest? I can't picture him, but I'm seeing a lot of skin.
Yeah. Well, he was a desert kid.
He is, so yeah, you know, it's hot over there. Why are we talking about Final Fantasy 12?
I don't know. Baldur's Gate. All right.
Fun.
So let's talk about another RPG real quick. Classic up. We always love talking to classic RPGs. Let's talk World of Warcraft Classic.
Oh. World of Warcraft. Okay,
it's
good.
Finally happened, Carl. It's finally happened. So, remember like a few years ago when World of Warcraft Classic came out, when they re-released like the vanilla version, everyone jumped on.
Full
I went,
vanilla.
Fucking no way. You are not, I'm not going a meter near that thing. Nah. Screw that. I played it all in the past.
You know
not
what
doing
it is.
It.
You don't
I know exactly
it
what
again.
It is. I know everything about it. It's fine. Never again. The grind was too long. I don't want to do it anymore. Screw that. bugger it, it's in my past. I'm happy with the content I did back in the day. You know, I was in a top tier Oceanic guild, number one guild, all this sort of stuff. Like, I went as high as I could bloody go, right?
Yep. Several times over.
So then anyway, the latest BlizzCon, Blizzard are like, hey, guess what? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Blizzard were like, hey everyone, guess what? We're releasing a new season of World of Warcraft, and we're going to call it the Season of Discovery. And what this is, we're re-releasing Classic WoW again, but we're adding all new skills into the game that were never in the game originally. We're adding a new raid, we're adding a new PvP area, and we're capping the leveling for the first phase at 25, for the second phase at 40, for the third phase at 50, and for the final phase at 60. And every phase, we're going to add in new runes, a new raid, and a new PvP area.
And what are the runes again? You were telling me about those.
So the runes are, you get 12 per class. Per class. So what is there, 7 classes originally or whatever it is? So we've got, what, 8? There's 80 plus runes in the game, but you get 12 per class. You can't collect.
So 12
unique runes per
class. And pretty much
these... you can then attach a rune, one to your gloves, one to your chest, one to your legs, right?
Okay.
And they all do different things. So it's like it could be different skills. So let's say you're a priest, you can get penance, which didn't come in till later on. Yeah, as a mage, you can get frost lance, which didn't come in till Burning Crusade. Or, you know, there's whole new skills have added into the game, like. They added this one for priests called homunculi, which is these little shadow creatures that come running out and attack the enemy for you. That was never in a Warcraft game. They've just added this into the game and gone, there you go. Others are more passives, like you're a hunter and your pet does more damage and it'll take more aggro for you now, so you can tank with your pets more. Or they've fully changed up classes in that they go, here you go, warlocks. We're going to give you metamorphosis, but now it also increases your armor by 500%, and now you can tank enemies as a warlock.
Whoa.
Or a rogue. They're like, here you go, rogues. We're going to give you a tanking rune. And this means most physical hits can't hit you because you'll dodge pretty much everything.
Wow.
So now you can tank on a rogue. Yeah. Or hey, mages, guess what? You can heal now. We're going to give you a healing spell that every time you cast damage, whoever you put the spell on will get healed.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And then they took an old five... Like, for this one, they took the old... Black Fathom Deep's 5-man zone, right, or dungeon, and they've turned it into a 10-man raid. So they've redone
all the
bosses.
What are the differences between a dungeon and a 10-man raid?
So dungeon was only 5 players.
Okay.
So,
right.
And a raid has a lockout. So once you've cleared it, you can't clear it again for 3 days.
Right. Okay.
So, but it's got the best loot.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So they've updated all loot in there. Give all brand new loot. Updated all that and like made new epics and all this. They've added new epics into crafting. Like they've added, and this is only phase 1, so you can only go to level 25, which is the best because I've now leveled almost 6 characters to level 25.
Oh my god! See, this is what happens when Callum comes up for air from Red Dead RP.
Right, right. So then, now I'm not going to take all of them to 40. But I'll probably take 3 of them to 40 because it's only a smaller jump from 25 to 40. Yeah. And then we'll be at level 40 for like 2 months. And then they'll raise it to 50. And then eventually 60. So what I probably would not have jumped in if they had gone, oh yeah, it's 1 to 60, blah, 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 blah. Because I'm like, the grind's too long.
Yeah.
Like in one hit.
And why would you stop at 25?
But spacing that out over a year?
They're not dumb.
So the next phase starts February 9th, I think. So we've got like a couple of weeks left.
Goodness.
And yeah, it's level 40, and then they've turned the old Nomaragan dungeon into the raid this time. So again, new bosses, new loot, new mechanics, all this sort of stuff. But then they even said they're going to add fully new dungeons eventually to the end-to-end game. Areas that were never built upon in the original World of Warcraft.
Okay, okay.
So, like, for example, Karazhan Crypts was supposed to be a dungeon, but it never happened. We got Karazhan, which was this wizard tower dungeon thing, right? But there was actually supposed to be another dungeon underneath that, they never did anything with it. It's just like the assets were there, but it never released. It never saw the light of day. So they're like, we are going to put this into the game this time. So you're going to get like brand new dungeons later on. And then like every time we're going to get new runes, and they're not telling us what the runes are because it's all about discovery. And it's not like you just find, like, okay, some of the runes come from killing a random mob. Others are from long quest chains. Others you got to do certain things. Like one, as a mage, you find a frozen Murloc statue, right? And what you're supposed to do is find another mage or warlock, and bring them there with you, and you just have to hit it with just constant fire spells until it melts, and then you get your rune.
Wow, okay. And so how are you supposed to figure that out? Just by just trial and error?
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like, so they said, we're not doing any like public test realms or anything like that. The game just, we just update the game, and you just got to go find the shit.
That's so cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, so it's called Season Discovery for that reason.
So is that your favorite Xbox game of last year?
Xbox game?
Yeah.
Oh, very funny. But no, I'm absolutely it's made me fall back in love with classic WoW again.
Nice.
They even for the PvP zone, they turned one zone into like a PvP thing, like every couple of hours this thing event happens. The event's actually really shit. But once you've done it a certain amount of times, you can actually buy a mount for 10 gold at level 25, but it only works in that zone.
Okay, nice.
Which is just, I don't know.
Are mounts supposed to happen like way later or something?
Level 40.
All right. Okay, so it's a little preview.
It's a little, here you go, guys, but it's just for this zone, but it's very cheap. But you're going to do something to earn it, you know?
Yeah, okay. There's just a lot of give and take, which it feels like it's, you know,
but then what's crazy, people have come up with weird like gold making techniques. One has been to level your fishing, so you can't actually level your professions to maximum. They're capped by a level.
Yep.
Right, so you can't get the highest level of fishing or blacksmithing, right? But people worked out you could still get fishing to its maximum in this, like to 150 level, but then you can find this special rod that increases it by another 20. And then you can make a special, like, lure on it, which increases it by, like, another 100. So it allows you to then fish in higher-level areas. And then people have been sneaking along the coastline of high-level zones, trying to fish in fishing pools to get chests that have high-level items in them.
Oh, my God.
It's wild. There's just weird shit like this happening.
That's what happens when everyone's
stuck. It would never work any other time. Yeah. It's just, like, a bonus to fishing. But this is, like, holy shit. Yeah.
I love when the community gets creative, but like I was saying, it's like them forcing you to stay at level 25 is what's creating this desperate creativity of like, well, okay, what do we do with this now? Now that this is us for the next 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be about 2 months fully at level 25, which is crazy.
Damn.
But it's been so much fun because what's even crazier is that now we're fully decked out as level 25s. Mm. Like, the leveling from 25 to 40 will be so much faster because our kill speed will be so much faster because we'll have all this amazing gear in every slot. True. Whereas before, you would have had a ragtag bunch of fucking quest things here and there. Like, when I hit 25 on one of my characters, I had, like, level 10 boots still.
Yeah, you've got, like, a golden helmet and a green chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my warrior at the moment's got, like, this epic two-hand sword now and... And he's almost best in slot in everything, and he just does so much damage.
God damn.
And he's just going to be fun, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And then it's like trying to figure out what runes are going to add in. Like, are we going to get all new skills? Are we going to get old favorites? What's going to break? Like, just even from these runes, classes have broken in weird-ass ways.
Yeah.
Like, hunters got so strong with their pets could solo as the players.
Wow.
And it's just funny because you just stick your pet on them and you just watch them die. Now, they've been nerfed 6 times now.
Oh, my God. Oh.
But then priests, for whatever reason, their healing spells were like way, like their new ones, like penance, way above normal healing what it should have been. And it just became like these godlike healers. And everyone's like, we need priests in our group.
Wow. Okay, cool. I like when healing is just kind of boss as well.
Yeah. Like there was a meta in PvP and there's 10-man battlegrounds, right? People were making 10-man teams of, like, 7 hunters and 3 priests.
Wow. Just this continuous Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah. And it's been so much fun that the characters still don't have their full kits. Like, when you're hitting into the 40s, you generally have access to most of your class kit, right? Yeah. But everyone's still missing some major things, so level 40 is going to be freaking wacko, I reckon. It's going to get wild at level 40.
Damn.
Especially with probably 8 new runes a class, and yeah.
And how far away is that now?
February 9th.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. 2 days couple before of weeks. I get home.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll find me in World of Warcraft.
No, I will not. You'll be lost.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Warcraft. Okay, let's talk some Alan Wake.
Alan Wake. There's so many games to talk about.
I know.
About.
Well, actually, I want to talk about Alan Wake 1 because I went and finished it.
Of course you did. All right, tell us about Alan Wake 1 and Meeting Scratch.
So I played Alan Wake 1 again, and this is the third time I think I've attempted to finish it. And finally got through it all this time without randomly stopping. It's really enjoyable. It's a really good game.
It gets a bit creepy towards the end.
Oh, the whole thing's creepy. Same with, I did the DLC American Horror Story as well.
I didn't do
that one. Again, that was some wild stuff in there as well. So that was, look, towards the end, especially towards the end of American Horror Story, because the combat was the same, the whole thing. Use a flashlight and shoot, guys.
Yeah.
Got a little old, I gotta admit. By the time I'd finally done the DLC as well, I was like, I'm so over this of like, shine my flashlight and then shoot a couple of bullets and then shine my flashlight again. And yeah, so I got over it. The story's cool, the narration's cool, the voice acting is fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
The way that they've taken all these horror tropes and you know, from books and, you know, all these different references, and there's, you know, mentions of Stephen King and, you know, all this
and
sort
the
of,
Twin Peaks sort of, and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool. I've been meaning to play 2 and I haven't yet.
You haven't? Oh my God. You're going to Uncharted 4 this again?
No, because I've left a gap this time.
Good. And you're not all burnt out. It is a gorgeous game. I got to get back into it as well, like many of the other games. I've finished the first 3 or 4 chapters, I want to say.
Okay.
A good chunk, and I've as a lot of you have heard, and probably you've heard, you play as 2 characters. There's Saga, who's the FBI agent, female FBI agent, and Alan Wake. And you kind of jump between them. I don't know.
Can you choose when you jump between them?
Well, I've only just seen Alan Wake, and it's been about 10 to 15 hours.
Oh, so you don't start as Alan Wake?
No. So it starts off as Saga, and then things happen, which literally any part of this is a spoiler because the story
don't tell me.
No, of course not. But the story is just, it's told so well. The menu system works really cool, and how they categorize all the different missions and side quests and all that. You actually disappear into the character's head.
Mm-hmm.
And then they appear in this kind of office that they've set up for themselves. And you can look around, and one of them is a wall with, you know, all different pictures pinned to it with the you know, tacks, and like little pins and tacks with the red line. So the red cotton lines drawn to it, you know, like it's trying to figure out a mystery on those crazy people's walls.
Mm-hmm.
The Charlie Day shot of being like, that kind of situation. So that's really, and that's all in the character's head, but I don't think the game's paused while that happens, so you got to be careful where you use it, and then you unpause and you go back to your normal story, so you snap out of it, kind of thing. It's like a mind palace, and there's a desk with recordings and all kinds of cool stuff, so it feels very detective-y. It's very cleverly done. I don't know how the Alan Wake stuff looks, because I've literally just met him, and that was the end of my playing. I moved on from game to game to game to game to game, so I got to come back and jump into it. But oh my God.
Yeah, I've had gorgeous. The opposite where I've sat in a 1 game for months.
Yep, 2 games. So you're just wow.
3.
3.
No. I went Diablo into Red Dead into WoW.
Blizzard, Rockstar, Blizzard.
Yes.
Nice.
The year is 2004. I'm eating Doritos at my desk.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Things are good.
Diablo and WoW. Yeah.
The year is 2024. I'm eating Doritos at my desk.
Hey, man. When it's good, it's good. You know? You like what you like. But yeah, Alan Wake is fantastic. The sound design, I think, is gorgeous. The creepiness is just, like, up a notch, like, so much. You know, it's mm-hmm. more of a survival horror than the first Alan Wake, for sure. So less action-y and less, kind of thrillery and more just actual scary. A lot of dark spots. It's hard to describe just how much they nail it, but it's so much of it is in the just the mood and the setting. Mm-hmm. It's just brilliantly done. There's just this eeriness that follows you everywhere you go. Every moment feels tense. But yeah, it's been really, really fun to play. The way they mix the storytelling and the acting in with the gameplay is just flawless. It really does look like you're just watching an episode of something, a modern Twin Peaks episode.
Do you think Xbox has dropped one here by letting that IP go?
Oh, I mean, I don't think so. You just said all you've been playing is World of Warcraft and Diablo. I think Xbox and the IPs they've acquired are doing just fine. You know, this is such a niche thing that I don't like. Getting one single Blizzard game instead of Alan Wake was probably a financial win, unfortunately. Like, I love Alan Wake, but the Remedy games are so awesome, but they are, like, just such a small kind of niche thing when it comes to big AAA titles, when you compare it to things like Diablo and World of Warcraft and even Overwatch and, you know, stuff like that. So I think what they got instead, they're doing just fine.
Yeah.
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 What are you pondering about there, sir?
I'm just reading something. It was a thing, a message that came through. It's fine.
Oh, it's good. We're good. We can...
Yeah. Do you want to keep talking? I don't know if I've got any other games to talk about here.
Oh, my God. Did you play any of Mortal Kombat 1?
1992.
Oh, God.
Sitting in my room, my eating legs Doritos. Crossed, eating Doritos. Life
you were
good.
Probably eating CC's then.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Instead of Doritos. Oh, God. Okay, Mortal Kombat 1. Oh, this. What have you been... Okay, Mortal Kombat 1, I had a lot of fun.
Were you about to say, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Well, there was this thing called Red Dead Redemption RP, followed by World of Warcraft Classic Season of Discovery.
All right, thank you very much.
For
your sacrifice and your research. I do understand. That's good. That's actually been... very handy. My God, there's...
Hey, if anyone at Blizzard wants to give me a job, I know all about your games.
There's something. Man, there's so much to talk about here. All right.
You don't need to talk about everything. You can just slip them into each episode, though. You
I
know,
will.
Here
all
and
right.
there.
I'll tell you guys more in the coming episodes of my opinions on these games. And one I will jump into right now, though, is... which I just... It actually came out today. So it's new.
Power World?
It does start with a P. Prince of Persia, the Lost Crown.
Jesus.
Well done. So Ubisoft were kind enough to give us a copy a few days ago, and I jumped in and did a few streams of it, and I'm having an absolute blast. That game is better than it needed to be. It's like a classic Metroidvania 2D, the whole got the map and backtrack with new moves.
Are you just in a palace again?
You're in all different kind of... Yeah, I guess so. You're in the sky, you're in a swamp, you're in a jungly area, but it's some of it is a palace falling apart. Some of it is like pillars floating in the air. There's a bunch of different things going on with time, dilution, and things like that. The story is just interesting enough. Like, it doesn't even need to be, but it is. It happens to just be interesting enough. Someone's betrayed you. You're in a team of... seven, like a superhero team that you call, kind of like that, but you call yourselves the Immortals. You're just a bunch of people. There's like a big tough guy with a, you know, big old weapon, and there's a bow and arrow person. There's a person with different, you know, you're like many Ninja Turtles. And Prince of Persia, the character you play, I forgot his name already, even though I only played it today. But
Prince?
Yep, Mr. Persia. he is very nimble. He's awesome. He looks like a modern rapper, but he plays very well. He's got two sort of swords that he uses. there's the mechanics just feel, they're all kind of natural. Like you get a dash in the air, move, you know, later in the game, you get a bow and arrow later in the game, and slowly you progress, and these help you unlock the next places, and you can come back and backtrack. What's an interesting thing they added into Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown specifically, which is always fun to see when...
Did they add the crown in?
Who knows? I'm not up to that yet. Spoilers, it's lost still.
Oh, okay.
So in
I guess it would be called the found crown then.
Yeah, or just the crown, I suppose.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it'd be found if it was never lost. This is some deep... I hope you're writing this down, listeners. Some heavy stuff here. A really cool addition that they added, which is nice to see in a Metroidvania game that is just kind of mostly all the tropes but done well, is when you reach a spot that you can't reach, ironically, say there's like a treasure chest or a door at the top left of the screen that you can't quite reach, you can take a snapshot of it, which acts as a memory. So it's not quite a photo mode, but it's kind of a screenshot that saves itself into the map as an icon that you can go back and you have these little eye-shaped icons, which are all your screenshots you took, and you only have a number of them, so you can't go taking screenshots of every section of every level. But in the level, you can look back at these little eyes, and when you put your cursor over them, it opens up the photo, and you can remember whether, oh, that was an item in the air or something across that I had to do a double jump, or this was a floating target that I needed a bow and arrow for, instead of backtracking all the way because you got a new item and being like, ah, damn it, it wasn't for this particular item. So it's a really cool addition to the Metroidvania formula that I think is really fresh, very simple, but very cool. And you can't travel to it. It's just like a reminder, is it worth making this journey back to this far away spot on the map? So that's really cool. It feels really fun. The boss fights are really cool. You get these upgrades that you can apply to yourself by wearing charms on a necklace, and they do things like, you know, a little bit of extra damage, or every time someone hits you, it goes into your powering up your special move and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're buying upgrades. It's that kind of classic loop, but it feels and looks phenomenal. I've been having an excellent time. The art style is really nice. Great game. Very, very good so far.
Fantastic. Do you want to move into our lame love and hype trains?
Yeah, okay. Let me do a quick run past of the games I'll be talking about over the next few. These are just the games I've been playing while you were playing Red Dead RP and WoW. So I'll jump
into... Man, I could talk about Red Dead RP every episode if you want.
How have we not spoken about Super Mario Wonder yet? So there's Super Mario Wonder... Like
I played that one, actually.
The big Mario game of last year, which is their 2D game.
It was a fun game.
Great game. Feels awesome. There's so much to say on that.
We talked about it in the PAX 1.
Oh, yeah, for our 10-minute gameplay.
Yeah. Game doesn't change that much.
Oh, my God, it changes a lot. There's so many power-ups and badges, and it just changes how the levels feel. Great game. I'll get into more of that on...
How did that not get higher in the Game of the Years, by the way?
I don't know. It's disgusting. But we say that, but I didn't mention it. You know, instead we talked about the Crew Motorfest and Alan Wake. So we are part of the... We talked about Starfield. That's disgusting.
We hadn't spoken about Starfield at all, though.
That's true. We had to talk about Starfield. So anyway, I'll run through some of Super Mario Wonder in the coming episodes. Spider-Man 2. Cyberpunk 2.0 and Phantom Liberty.
Spider-Man 2.
I don't. It's here to speak about.
Shit.
I know, bro.
I finished it.
Oh my God! See, there's things to talk about. Tell us about Spider-Man. No, is it too late? We've gone too long.
There's two Spider-Men this time.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man 2 of them. They should have added of them. Cyberpunk 2.0. I jumped back into that. Holy moly! That game is like, it's so worth going back in. Even if you've played the first one. Phantom Liberty, I haven't jumped into yet. I'm not up to that because I've started the whole game again. I did some Portal with RTX. They've just kind of retextured Portal. No Man's Sky, jumped into that because so much has happened in that game since we jumped in. That is a fundamentally different game now. And then Dave the Diver, I got it on Switch. Death Must Die. Epic, beautiful Vampire Survivors-like game, which mixes elements of that and Hades. Suika game, I want to talk about, which won't take long. when we do talk about it, but that's that watermelon game where you try and join all the fruits till it becomes a watermelon that took over Twitch for about a month. And Vampire Survivors is on Switch now. There's Bomb Rush, Cyberpunk.
About that one,
Ghost Runner 2 I've played. A game called Laika Age Through Blood, which is a lot of fun. And yeah, I think all the rest I've kind of mentioned. So we'll go through some of those. I think the main one is like, we'll chat more about Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Wonder, at least, mm-hmm. in the next coming...
Well, they're two I actually played.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which is hilarious. And I finished Spider-Man, you didn't.
No, and here's you being like, I got nothing else to talk about. That's how long it's been since we recorded an episode.
Jesus Christ. all right, let's roll into the lame love and hype train, all right? You ready?
I think so.
All right, let's start off with the lame train. All right, Carl, what's your lame train?
My lame train? Man, I feel like it's the same lame train all the time. But it's like it's exactly what we've been talking about this whole episode, is you finished Spider-Man 2, and you're the one that was stuck in Red Dead Redemption, RP, and WoW, and yet I haven't, and it's because I just cannot stop jumping from game to 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 game, and I haven't, like... sat down and enjoyed anything.
I think I did Spider-Man in 4 nights.
Dude, I finished... Okay, last week I finished the second temple in Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow, I finished that game.
Yeah, I finished the second temple in it.
Actually, I got my game finish list here as well.
That's my lame train. Is I finished the second temple.
Yeah, this is all the games I finished in 2023.
Oh god, here we go.
Vampire Survivors.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it does. There's credits at the end when you unlock everything.
That's
so
fair.
Shush.
That's fair.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm, great game.
Fire Emblem Engage. Hi-Fi Rush.
Not married yet. Okay, yep.
Dead Space Remake.
Good game.
Hollow Knight.
Hello.
Metroid Prime.
Oh, nice.
StarCraft II Legacy of the Void. Randomly, I went and did that.
Okay.
The Resident Evil 4 remake, which... Why was that so high on so many people's Games of the Year list?
I don't know. It's the same, but it looks better. It's not the same.
Like, if we get a remake of Ocarina of Time, is that going to win Game of the Year? I don't think it will. And nor it should.
No.
Diablo 1, the original Diablo.
Why not?
Dredge.
Oh, great game.
Yep. Diablo 2. Resurrected. Minecraft Legends. That was the one where I became the legend as well. Yeah.
Yep, well done.
Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Very good.
Diablo 4.
Yes, very good.
Spider-Man 2. Yeah, because after Diablo 4 is when I went off rails.
Yep.
You can see where I go off the rails.
Yep, Diablo and you're like...
It's like this very consistent list of games, and then Diablo 4 and then... massive break, Spider-Man 2.
I just
want to
see the months that you completed games in, the graph.
Yeah.
And as it drops on, like, whenever Diablo came out.
June.
Yeah. You'd be just...
Yeah, and just
green first
douche.
Half. Yeah, boom.
Yeah. Anyway,
your lame
train is that we didn't record anything for a long time.
Yep. Good one.
Yeah, I apologize for that, for falling off the wagon.
Good one.
All right, let's go into Love Train.
Okay. Love Train is that I only finished the second temple of Tears of the Kingdom last week.
So you got so much more to go.
I love it. Man, I'm back in. There's so many games that I'm trying to play, but Tears of the Kingdom, that's the one that when I open it up, it feels so old school in that it's not multiplayer. It's not this endless thing. So it feels kind of like each moment is precious because as you do it, it's done, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like RP where you can like keep doing things or create new adventures for yourself. This is a one and done thing. But like back in the day when you were, you know, younger and all these games were so big and overwhelming, this feels like that again. And it's just taken so long. Every time I run away and try other things, I come back into this, and it sucks me right in. It's just the right amount of whimsy and silliness, but then like serious adventure. And experimentation, and it's I don't know, it's like watching a Studio Ghibli movie and playing Lego at the same time. There's something about it, and I just love that I'm still in it as if it's just come out. And I've just really enjoyed, I love that it exists. So yeah, that's my love train. What about you, good sir?
Oh, mine was falling in love with classic WoW again.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet.
It's weird because, like, going back and then, like, skipping out on classic WoW when they released that. Mm. But going back with this, like, new stuff they've added. But then all that old stuff is there, too. Like, what the zones used to be like, how the characters used to play, what the dungeons were originally like. It's just so weird going back after all this time. Going, fuck, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, that'd be nice for you to see one-to-one.
But, like, even down to, I was thinking about it before, bag space. Like, these days you don't give a fuck about bag space. I was cheering when I found a 6-slot bag.
Why, is it just endless now, or what's the deal now?
No, you got bank spots galore, you've got, you know, 4x16-slot bags, you know, so you can, what... carry, well, I think maybe near on 100 items or whatever. Oh, now, you know. Well, this was like, you had your little backpack, which was like 14 slots or whatever, and then you had 4 other spots for little packs that, going back to original WoW, you have to find them or get them crafted, and it was expensive to get them crafted if you weren't that profession, so you go, well, yeah, and you'd find like a 6-slot bag in the first little mines you go through or whatever, and you're like, oh, wow, got a bag. Got a bag.
I love that. It's like,
but
camping.
It feels good. Yeah, yeah, you tell everyone, like, fuck, I fished up like a 12-slot bag the other day,
and that was
and I put it in guild chat. Guys, look at this. Everyone's like, oh, you know, they're like, where? I'm like, I fished it up. And they're like, oh, you've what? You know, huh?
Hacks.
No. Yeah. So I don't know. Just these little things like that. Like when. You weren't dealing with tens of thousands of gold. Like, 10 gold to spend on something is a big investment at this stage. Like, just things like, it's just, well, I've got 150 gold, and at this stage in Classic WoW originally, if you had 150 gold, it'd be ridiculous. But it's because I've been at 25 for so long, I've been able to farm it up.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, even then, I don't want to spend it because I know I've got mounts to buy come level 40.
Wow, so you're saving up. All right, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, so they're going to be like 40 to 50 gold each or whatever. And half the price they used to be on originally when they were 90 gold.
Whoa.
So I've got enough for like 3 characters.
Nice. Oh, the gold mounts. Carries over.
On to next phase?
No, like, for each character, they share the gold.
Oh, no, yeah, I just divvy it up between the different characters. And I've got a add-on which shows me all my gold totals and shit between all my characters. And that's nice. Handy. That's nice. But, yeah, I just love old classic WoW. Just these little things here. And there's so much of it which is just, like, not quality of life.
Look at us. It? WoW and Zelda is our love trains.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to the hype train. All right, so what are you hype train for? What are you hype for?
Let me keep saying it after I finish it. GTA 6 trailer. Yes. I'm hyped for the...
Trailer 2?
Yeah, I'm hyped for trailer 2. GTA 6 trailer 2, the 2024 trailer.
Oh, yes, I'm not expecting it until about September.
Yeah, probably a while yet. So I don't want to say GTA 6 every episode because it might be, but I'm going to try not until it's like a month out. I just think GTA 6 is going to be the thing I'm most hyped for so long.
This is what you did with Red Dead, though. The exact same thing. We can go back into earlier episodes. You're like, Red Dead? Mm-hmm. Try it for Red Dead 2. And we're still talking about 6 years on.
Exactly, so... You know, it was warranted, but yeah, GTA 6 trailer. I'm so excited just to see more. That game, we were talking about this a few days ago.
Wait, Red Dead 2 wasn't even your game of the year that year, was it?
No, but that's we're not talking about that game.
Stupid.
So GTA 6 is one of those games that is so exciting to us that just the idea of a trailer and seeing more of it is a legitimate hype train. We were talking about how,
yeah,
like, just... how that trailer might be one of the biggest releases of the year, even if you compare it to full games.
The hype for a trailer is going to be massive, and I think it'll be the story trailer this time.
Yeah, which would be really exciting. It'll be like,
and then the third and final trailer will be like a features trailer, just like Red Dead did.
Yeah, and this will be this will probably be like a two to three minute trailer. And
yeah.
Then the next one will be like a 5 to 10 minute.
Yeah, look. Features.
Yeah, and that's, man.
And you can also fish down the keys in your boat.
Look at this. Look at this dream. What about your, what's your...
While you ride your horse along, listen to Higher Love. All right. So I, my hype train, is Season of Discovery Phase 2.
Oh my god, of course.
I'm on the internet every day looking for more information. There's nothing because they're not giving a shit.
Okay, that's
the Season of Discovery.
That is hype. That's hype. You're hype. That's hype. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty fun though. It's pretty fun.
Also, a mini hype is, as of listening to this, you guys listening won't care, but tomorrow at 6 a.m. is the Xbox.
It's at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Well, for you, it's 7.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. There's actually a lot going on. There's the Xbox Developers Showcase thing where we're seeing more about Indiana Jones, Senua's Saga, etc. And then after that there is
Elder Scrolls.
Probably not going to watch it. Yeah. There's the Elder Scrolls reveal, which is their new region.
Yep.
And then after that. That's for Elder Scrolls Online, by the way, so people don't get confused.
Yes.
It's not like Elder Scrolls 6.
No, sorry.
And then after that is a developer's campfire chat for Diablo 4, where they'll be talking about the new Season of the Construct, which comes out next week.
Ooh, next week.
Mm.
Wow.
Next week, yeah. So new season happening there.
Can they bring
We're going to wrap this up. Our next episode will be our Game of the Year 2023.
Game
episode.
Of the Year coming up. It's still January. It still counts. We do it January.
Yeah, yeah.
Game of the Year,
so
right?
Keep an eye out for that one dropping soon. All right. This has been Game Train. Peace out. Have a good one.
Bye.